Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Tuesday now and it's very dull out there. Thoughts and prayers are with the parents of midterm break children and the tweeners. There are 10 days left in the month of February. Send your cries to help, please, to us in the usual way. On the WhatsApp, it's 0870 32 32 32. And you can also email your essays to oliver@rte.ie. Lovely show for you in store today. We're going to be chatting to Senator Lynn Ruan, who is, among many things, an author, but now a screenwriter, filmmaker, basically, because Ready or Not is the name of a new film, and it's going to be part of the Dublin International Film Festival. It's coming out this weekend, and it basically is going to unleash a whole new generation of talent, because the cast all came from working class communities. The story is set in Dublin in the late 90s, and it's a drama with heavy subjects done with a light touch, so that's not grim, which is always a nice way to do things. I'm looking forward to chatting to Lynn, because she's a very impressive person who's now on her third term as a senator. Incredibly, she came out through Trinity College, her amazing life story in a book that won an Irish Book of the Year award some years ago, 2018 I think it was, and still going strong. Didn't she also travel around the country with Miriam Margolyes? She did. She's just one of those people who does tons and tons of things. The text is also open as well, by the way, 51551. Now, what's this headline in the Irish Daily Mail? Gen Z are just a bunch of wasters. I'm saying this about Gen Z, these young people. Youngsters waste more food, it's about food, than their parents because they are confused by best before labels and never learned how to tell if something is off, according to experts. So this poll basically says that youngsters aged between 13 and 28 are completely reliant on food date labels but don't understand them, are utterly baffled, and they never learned how to basically look at food and judge whether it's healthy to eat or sniff it or use their sight, their senses to tell when food is good or bad. They also apparently get spooked by food poisoning scares and fake news on social media. Well, that's probably the whole world, not just youngsters, I presume. And this is from Harvard University in the US. We find youngest consumers are most likely to rely on date labels and likely to think all the labels are safety dates and to throw the food away at the date, so they don't understand the difference between the best before and the used by. And they're kind of saying it's because they didn't grow up in an era, they never farmed food, and they didn't grow up in an era when there were no date labels. Although date labels are widely used starting in the 1970s. I'd imagine a bit later in Ireland, wouldn't it? Would we have date labels instead? No, I wouldn't think so. Anyway, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland says now, always pay attention to the date declared in a food label. They're basically saying that you should always adhere to the use-by date, discard any food that has exceeded the date. And whether it's the best before date, you have to use your discretion, basically. And that is the actual, the most cautious people in the world. The use-by date, you're not supposed to, but I would always open it and give it a go, wouldn't you? I mean, like, the mould on cheese doesn't mean it's no longer view. The cheese is mould. Hair on jam, no bother at all, scrape it off. Sure, it's a preservative. But again, they are not the recommendations of the Food Safety Standard Authority thing of Ireland, which is north and south, by the way. It's one of those all-Ireland. Food safety is done as an all-Ireland thing. Now, something that is far more important. Why don't people dress up to go out anymore? This is from the New York Times, by the way. But anyway, somebody wrote in, said it's become the style to dress down when eating out, even at fine dining restaurants. Oh my God. Why is this? When did it start? When my wife and I go out, we always wear our best. I think it makes the experience more enjoyable. Haven't we lost something by abandoning all formality? It's from Michael in Palm Beach in Florida. So Vanessa Friedman writes about these matters for the New York Times. And she actually writes a very measured response to this person. She's kind of going, it sounds like she's with him at the start. It's not just at restaurants that the dress code has become more relaxed. It's pretty much everywhere. People don't dress up for the theatre, to the opera, work, travel. Sometimes airports look like giant sleepover parties rather than transportation hubs. Yes, Vanessa, I feel all these things. It's been that way for some time. The lack of formality or interest in occasion wear has prompted much complaining among those in the baby boomer generation. Is she ageist here? Who see it as an erosion of public standards. I think the right way to look at it, however, is as an expression of a much larger and more significant social and cultural shift. Oh, she's starting to lose Michael and Palm Beach. One that's been taking place over decades and essentially says we all have a right to dress as we want. No! And it's quite fascinating because she mentions an associate professor of history who spent their time on the lost art of dress. And this person from the University of Notre Dame has traced the phenomenon back to the 60s because there was a generation of youngsters basically started questioning all the received rules and conventions in America. Before that, the rules of what to wear were actually part of the education curriculum in home economics, and even the government issued pamphlets such as from the 1950s, How to Buy Shoes, which was actually published by the US Department of Agriculture. Wow, God, we were well behind the Americans in that front. And also, she said all these conventions were, you know, the way to use clothing to differentiate between your work time and your evening or fun time. And dressing up for events like the theatre or going out was considered a sign of respect for the performers in the theatre or the chef, or as well as a way to have fun. But she says the advent of casual Friday through the 1990s and exacerbated and fast-forwarded by the lockdowns of the pandemic era, at which point the pretense of a dress code has pretty much gone out the window entirely. Now, Vanessa concludes in a very measured fashion. She says the lack of general formality may also be why occasions that do demand dressing up nowadays, like weddings and going to a ball, are given massive attention. But if history teaches us anything, it's that what was once out comes back in again. So it may be that a new generation is about to discover the fun of dressing up to go out. There's nothing better for self-expression than peacocking and finery. But if it does happen, it will be their choice, not a convention that's thrust upon them, which is a good thing, they say. And also pointing out that because a garment might look casual doesn't mean it is. Because, of course, you could see somebody sitting down for a meal, head to toe in what we're supposed to call athleisure, but we'd say a tracksuit, like in common parlance. But it could cost 10 grand. That they could be very rich, and that could be a display of their wealth. Things have changed dramatically. But anyway, I can't see Jen's. If they don't know what a food label is, how are they going to dress up to go out to the theatre? For goodness sake, there are a few exceptions. We know who you are, by the way. It's all right. Do people dress up to go to cinema? No, they don't. That's one convention that never really existed. Well, they probably did once upon a time. But Bridget Jones 4, which we talked about last week, had record pre-orders, has earned the best box office opening ever for a romantic comedy in British and Irish cinemas. It earned 14.5 million over the just 4 days since its release on Thursday. So it was a very big Valentine's. Good sign. People are coming back to the cinema. I like the sound of that. That is the... it's broken its own record, by the way, previously held by the second Bridget Jones film, Edge of Reason, which was in 2004. Well, maybe the figures have something to do with more expensive tickets or whatnot. Are you watching White Lotus, which is about rich people behaving badly in various upmarket hotel resorts? The third season opened at the weekend, well, started at the weekend, and is here on Now TV in Ireland. You would have been able to watch it last night for the first time. It goes to a different location, so it went to Hawaii, then it was in Sicily, and now it's in Thailand. And people have always loved the theme tune, and they were sitting down last night planning to, we get the little hoo-hoo-hoo sounds. And this was, by the way, a kind of a remix of the season one theme by Tiesto. Remember Tiesto? And then it goes to Thailand, setting up the late season show, and they were hoping for the same theme tune or a little bit of modification, but instead this happened. What's this? Where's the... Oh, maybe it's about to kick in. No, it never does. Social media is awash with people complaining about this new theme tune, saying it doesn't match the banger status of the Sicilian season. In fact, the first comment on the track on YouTube, the official track, is that it builds up multiple times and you're thinking for sure the woo woo woo, but they never do. And someone else says, oh man, where's the woo woo woo? It goes on like this. And someone says, not to be dramatic, but the new theme song has quite literally ruined my whole week. And then they quickly went to the fridge and couldn't understand the food labels in their tracksuit. What is this? I was shocked. It continued with no changes. I was expecting a needle to drop until the last second. No needle drops. The theme tune is gone. This is the concern of people. It'd be better to be concerned about that than the other kind of important stuff, the wars and all of that. That'd be quite concerning, wouldn't it? By the way, we'll never forgive Keir Starmer because against the backdrop of the Ukraine peace deal that's been thrashed out between America and the people who invaded Russia in Saudi Arabia, which of course is a great bastion of democratic peace deals. Europe, it's about Europe, but they're obviously, you know from the news and so on, cast out and panicking in Paris basically. Keir Starmer has said any Ukraine peace deal would require a US backstop to deter Russia from attacking its neighbour again. You can't use the back, that's too triggering for us. Remember the backstop, which was an abandoned thing, which was to keep Northern Ireland and Britain in the in the single market, wasn't it, until they came up with a deal and it was abandoned, and Northern Ireland Protocol was from, and then it's the Windsor Framework. It gets, but that word backstop just harks back to a very, very unpleasant time. So Keir Starmer, come up with something else there. Thank you very much. If I look at the side stories around the whole Trumpadation that's happening over there, and there is an interesting one, because much of the opposition to Donald Trump at the moment is not coming from the Democrats, who are spectacularly weak, but kind of from Republican opinion makers. And this is the Wall Street Journal, which is a Republican publication over there beyond, and they're talking about a measles outbreak. 13 people in Texas hospitalized for measles amid an outbreak of nearly 50 cases, all in children whose vaccination status is negative, as in they're not vaccinated or unknown. That's a Friday morning. The Texas Health Department says there are going to be more cases because this is a very, very highly contagious disease. In the year 2000, the paper points out, measles was eliminated from the United States, which was like a whole year with no continuous spread. It says immunization has saved millions of lives around the world since the vaccine became available in 1963. And now the country is in peril. About one in five unvaccinated people who get the measles in America end up in hospital with very, very serious illness. It's a nasty, nasty disease. And now, of course, the health secretary is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is an infamous vaccine skeptic. They say an environmental lawyer betrayed. He has long been part of the problem, and at his Senate confirmation hearings, he presented himself as the just asking questions man, which undersells his role in spreading doubt and confusion on vaccines. And they also just repeat the science that two doses of the MMR vaccine is 97% effective at preventing measles, but the coverage among kids in America is sliding. And in the very county where these cases, hospitalizations are occurring, the statistics show coverage for vaccination among kindergartners is falling. It used to be in the high 90s, nearly 100%. It is now 82%. And nearly 20% of kindergartners have filed an exemption, which is allowed under Texan law, which lets parents opt out of school vaccine mandates, as in compulsory school vaccines. And the number of people opting out has doubled in the last couple of years. So the Wall Street Journal, this is the editorial board, by the way, said the best case scenario would be for Mr. Kennedy to internalize that he's no longer an activist outsider who needs to take provocative pot shots to get attention. He is the country's health secretary, and there are children in the hospital with measles who shouldn't have to be there. There you go. By the way, we should also say that polling on Donald Trump's performance so far would indicate he's still enormously popular in the country, holding on to the support he won in the election. In fact, it's stronger than it was, his approval rating, than his first term. And people are very impressed by the energy of his orders to date and the spate of them. There is some slippage among young voters, but not very much. So when we talk negatively over on this side of the Atlantic about Mr. Trump, he still has a lot of support over there for sure. In the meantime, 51551 for your text. Someone says, Oliver, our mother used to tell us that you dress to please others. I imagine trying that now. To please others. Well, that's kind of, that is the idea. It's kind of a costume, isn't it, all the time? Ages 13 to 28 on the food waste. Thankfully escaped that. Why? Because when Granny used to call, this is a texter, when Granny used to call when they were young, now approaching 40, says this person, one exercise was clearing out the fridge and putting the stuff in date order. Very good. I was obviously a little careless myself at the time. It was a lifetime lesson, and use by and best before date, therefore, is not a problem. It's a case of watch the dates, cook, use accordingly. Soup is even made with leftover vegetables. Of course, so no wastage in that house, says A. And someone says, just laughing in the comments on the best before dates, used by dates, sharing a kitchen with five Gen Z young adults, they despair of my willingness to use mouldy cheese and hairy jam. Yes, well done. As a baby boomer, brought up on a small farm in West Clare, food was precious, not to be wasted. I still feel that way. My children are so distrustful of my food choices, they won't even use milk from the fridge without sniffing it automatically, which then gets some strange looks when visiting other houses. Okay. They don't do it elsewhere, do they? Mother of God. Also, to keep you cheery this morning, some information, some data from Met Air and weather stations, where they reported Dublin Airport has had 0 hours of sunshine in the past seven. That's up to 9 days now, if you include today. This is all to do with a combination of low wind, dominant high pressure in northwestern Europe, and easterly breezes. That's why it's freezing then, isn't it? The east wind, along the east coast anyway. And you have persistently grey skies. The sunniest place in Ireland of the last week, Belmullet, had 19 hours of sunshine the whole week. Cork had only 2.5 hours. Johnstown Castle in Wexford had a half an hour, but 0 hours sunshine in Dublin Airport. And this I didn't know this, the weather, Met Aaron people have a definition of a dull day. It's a day with less than half an hour of sunshine. The number of dull days have ranged from 10 days in a row at Malinhead and Donegal to 14 days, 2 weeks of dull days in Johnstown there in County Wexford. So it is basically a day where you have the blues. The best way to get rid of the blues is to listen to the blues. 51551 for your text. Ed and James to take away your blues. Yes. I got a heart full of trouble.